I'm Colleen McNamara,
and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place!
Colleen just crushing it. Hey, this is a great quote. Oh man, I gotta see if I can get it back. I just saw it on my TV. Let me read it to you. This is from Heiko Maas. I think that's how you say that. Heiko Maas. He's the German foreign minister. We are not captive, neither to Russia nor to the USA. We're one of the guarantors of the free world, and that will remain the case. What? Yeah, Germany, you're a freeloader, and you're delusional. Yeah, you're a delusional freeloader. Congratulations, you lose. No, the rest of us lose, right? You're the one that's winning. Germany, nice. Well done there, losers. All right, before I give that one up, this is from top five stories in the early bird today, right? Top of the fold headline. Trump blasts Merkel from a distance, smiles during face-to-face photo op. You know what? So what are you going to do? It's not like he hates Angela Merkel, right? They have a disagreement, right? The United States has a disagreement with the quote-unquote old order. This particular has a problem with the order of post-World War United States, Europe, in which the United States underwrites not only your economy, but your defense as well. And, oh, by the way, we run deficits with most of you people. Or with many of you. Okay? So, I think the president does a pretty good job with this. I've heard him say before, hey, look, President Xi and I get along great. You know, but we have, you know, we're on different teams. I'm on the American team and he's on the Chinese team. We see the future differently. They see the future as China ascending and the United States going away. We don't see us going anywhere. And we certainly wouldn't see the future to China, which is a communist dictatorship. That is not in anybody's interest that a communist dictatorship is the primary economic player on the planet. So we shall see. So anyway, and I think the president does a good job in kind of stating that. So, you know, again, the truth is the truth. Okay? So this is updated as of 8:20 this morning. President Trump had sharp words for Germany on Wednesday as NATO allies gathered for a summit in Brussels. He blasted the German government for not spending more on defense and suggested that a three-year-old energy supply agreement has left Germany captive to Russia. Hours later, though, Trump took a softer line during face-to-face photo op with German Chancellor Angela Merkel, A. Merkel, as she's known here. Quote, we have a very, very good relationship, Trump told reporters hours after saying that Germany is totally controlled by Russia because of its reliance on Russian natural gas. I think it's very unfair to our country, Trump said. It's very unfair to our taxpayer. Now, is that not true? But I think the media wants to make it, you know, again, for clickbait, it's better to get the president to blow up and try to make it a personal thing. It's not what he's saying. It was a bruising start to a NATO summit that was meant to emphasize the strength and unity of the alliance. And it's a sharp contrast to the conciliatory tone Trump has taken with Russia ahead of a meeting with Vladimir Putin next week. You know what? That's true, and that bugs the shit out of me. Okay? He better have the same plain-spoken, right, shit with Vladimir Putin. It bugs me the way he never says anything bad about that dude. Okay? It bugs me. So, but the truth is the truth in Europe, right? But it's also the truth in Russia as well. And as far as this, like, so does anybody question NATO's solidarity? Well, no, I don't think so. Okay? NATO is important, is an important piece. Okay? But this is what NATO has to unscrew itself. Nations like Germany have to stop exploiting NATO and have to stop freeloading off NATO. And so, do we not say that? Merkel bristled at the idea that the gas deal has left her country captive to Moscow. The chancellor, who grew up in the former East Germany, told reporters, "I've experienced myself how a part of Germany was controlled by the Soviet Union." She insisted that Germany today makes its decisions independently of Moscow, adding, quote, "That is very good, especially for people in Eastern Germany." NATO members have committed to spending 2% of their respective gross domestic products on defense by 2024. Germany currently spends about 1.2%, while the U.S. spends 3.6%. "Many countries are not paying what they should," Trump said. "And frankly, many countries owe us a tremendous amount of money for many years back. And they're delinquent. And as far as I'm concerned, because the United States has had to pay for those years." Where is he wrong about that? "Those nations have all made independent domestic decisions not to fund their commitment to NATO and to unilaterally stand down their military, because the United States will defend them." So, anyway. All right. So, done with that. Yeah. Done with that. It irritates me. This is from Reuters. Headline, exclusive. So that means exclusive to NATO. I'm sorry, exclusive to Reuters, not NATO. "After a discouraging year, U.S. officials expect review of Afghan strategy. The United States is preparing to undertake a review of its strategy in Afghanistan," U.S. officials told Reuters, a year after President Donald Trump begrudgingly agreed to extend America's involvement in the 17-year war. Officials said Trump has shown signs of frustration over the lack of progress since he unveiled a strategy last August that committed to an open-ended deployment of U.S. military advisors, trainers, and special forces, and increased their support for Afghan security forces. The goal was to force the Taliban militants to open peace talks with the Kabul government. Nearly a year later, the current situation is in a stalemate in which Afghan civilians are paying a heavy price. The Taliban are expanding in rural areas, but are unable to capture major urban centers, and the capability of Afghan security forces remains in doubt. And here's where the story gets kind of odd. Several current U.S. officials and former officials and advisors with direct knowledge said the White House has not yet formally ordered the review, but they were preparing for a government-wide appraisal in the next few months. The official spoke on conditions of anonymity, blah, 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 blah. "We've received some indications from the White House that Trump would ask for a review in the next few months, so we're preparing for what it looks like," said a senior official. So, again, somebody told somebody via an anonymous source. So, but that in the offing. Not surprised. This is in the BBC. U.S. fires the next shot in the China trade war. Yeah, and again, I'm all about trade wars. Right? China, we're paying for their military. We're paying for things they do around the world. That's right. Because President Obama, President Bush, President Clinton have all kind of sat back and watched China do things that aren't in our best interest. And we've kind of said, and more so Bush, and in particular President Obama, and kind of looked the other way. The U.S. has ramped up its trade war with China, listing $200 billion worth of additional products it plans to place tariffs on as soon as September. The move comes just days after the two countries imposed tit-for-tat tariffs on $34 billion of each other's goods. President Donald Trump has already threatened to impose additional tariffs against China if it retaliated. The list names more than 6,000 items, including food products, minerals, and consumer goods such as handbags. So, again, the president just raised the stakes in that war, and I think it's about time. Again, rolling over for China is bad business. This is a story that you read on such a regular basis that it seems like I read these stories, if not every day, certainly every week, and it seems like multiple times a week. Hacker caught selling maintenance manuals for military drones. A poorly configured router allowed the theft of drone manuals, a list of maintainers, material on the Abrams tank, and more. Until last week, you could have purchased one of the U.S. military training manuals for the MQ-9 Reaper drone, along with a maintenance manual for the Abrams tank, a guide to defeating IEDs and other sensitive materials, thanks to a hacker who put the stolen material up for sale online. The theft and attempted sale were brought to light by cybersecurity and threat intelligence groups who published a report about the incident and are working with law enforcement personnel on it. It's like Americans will sell anything if they can make a buck off it. The good part is they're not going to make that much money because the Chinese already have all of our shit. So why would they pay top dollar to get it if they already have it? So yeah, thank God they've already stolen everything. So it's not that big of a deal. Cybersecurity, I'm telling you. If you want your kid to be rich in the future, send him in that direction. Next story. For the first time, a senator is opposing the VA secretary nominee. What? That's never happened? Why does that not make sense to me? Senate Veterans Affairs Committee members said on Tuesday, as they voted to advance the nomination of Robert Wilkie to be the next Secretary of Veterans Affairs, but the move came with a symbolic and historic opposition vote against the move. The panel by voice, so normally you do a voice vote when it's either unanimous or very close to it. The panel by voice vote sent Wilkie's nomination to the Senate floor, but with Senator Bernie Sanders, independent Vermont, opposing the move. It's the first time in committee history that a member has voted against the VA secretary nominee. Pretty interesting that nobody's ever opposed a nominee coming out of the committee. Sanders is the former chairman of the committee, also intends to vote against Wilkie when his nomination comes to the full Senate for a vote. And here's a quote from Senator Sanders. This has less to do with Mr. Wilkie than President Trump. Trump has been very clear about his desire to move to privatization of the VA, and I suspect any of his appointees will try and move the agency in that direction. So when we talk about privatization, we don't even know what we're talking about half the time, because the VA is already privatized and increasing what they privatize. Wilkie, in response to Sanders' question about privatization, quote, "I believe in the centrality of VA to care," he said in response to Sanders. "There are things that VA does that will never be replicated in the private sector. If we believe that the veteran is central, we can also make the argument that as long as VA is at the central node in his care, that reinforces the future of VA. So what does that mean? as long as VA is the central node in his care, does that mean that he didn't say central provider, he said the central node coordinating his care? Wilkie issued a statement subsequent to that interaction. Quote, VA healthcare should be centered around what is best for the individual veteran and should be integrated, agile, and adaptive, he said. In some cases, that requires VA medical facility care. In other cases, it requires community care. Hear, hear, Wilkie. Well done. Well done. Joining me on the program is the Prince himself, Michael Musselman. What's up, Prince?
Oh, man, bless me. Hey.
What?
I just wanted to call and say, hey, I'm really happy for our friend in Alabama.
How about that?
That's what makes everything worthwhile. All the effort, man. You know? And like I said, things happen for a reason because, you know, and then the topic we were talking about. So another friend of mine called me from the East Coast and said, man, I caught your show for the very first time. And boy, it really, I mean, so we were talking about it. He's kind of the same way, but a little bit older, more mature. You would think that he'd figure this one out by now. He hasn't. But, he said, you know, it didn't dawn on me. I went out with my buddies and I didn't drink, but I saw them and he goes, you know, Mike, I was embarrassed by their action. But then it hit me. I was like, wait a second. I'm that same guy when I'm drinking, but I was embarrassed by those guys. Like I felt uncomfortable. I wanted to leave. I didn't want to be part of this anymore. And he goes, yeah, he goes, this is amazing. Because I saw it now I can, but it was just that he caught the end of the show or towards the end of the show. And it was something that's been weighing on his mind, but it happened to him, this past weekend where for some unknown reason he didn't drink, but he saw the actions of everybody else. I was embarrassed. And then he felt uncomfortable. And then, you know, so there's that learning lesson. So he's like, shoot, man, I'm a changed man.
You know, my kids.
Good
again,
for him.
I read the letter here from our friend in Alabama. And then, but I keep his name out of it, obviously, to protect the innocent.
Right.
But it is what the show's about, but I had a conversation with a friend of mine named Phil Smith and about these kind of issues and why don't we as leaders, right? And again,
right.
Why don't we as leaders, why aren't we more forceful and looking at our Marines who we love? Okay, and it's not about jamming something up their ass or down their throat or something. We love these guys. We've seen how great they are, and throughout our whole lives.
Right.
And so, look, you know, and again, what was classic? Okay, what was classic was I asked you, Mike. I want to ask you a question I've been talking about today, and you hadn't. I don't think you'd listened to the show previous yesterday.
No.
And I said. And you said, okay, what is it? And I said, PTSD and alcohol. And you laughed. and that's how absurd it is. Yet every guy you talk to, right, with issues will talk about how they screwed their life up because they were drinking and they didn't stop drinking and they didn't stop drinking. A lot of them until they destroyed their first marriage, they destroyed their first family. And then they at least salvaged it and got remarried, repaired the ties to their first family and are now doing okay. But
not always.
Yeah,
most of them
right.
drink more because now they got more sorrow to carry. Their pack gets bigger. You know, then they drink more. And then before you know it, they're in and out of jail a couple of times. Then they feel worthless. They lose all the self-esteem, and then it's just a crash downward spot. I mean, no tailspin is fatal. You can pull out of anything. You know, some people need help. Some people need counseling. Some people need that rude awakening to something to change their life, something to smack them that hard in the face. Others can do it by watching others.
Right.
We're very, and that's the problem the Marine Corps would have. I mean, you could bring these guys like our friend from Alabama, you can, because they can relate to him. He's young, he put those boots on, and he could talk about the thing. I mean, Jeremiah Workman does this for a living, for Christ's sake.
Right.
And, you know, if it was so successful, we wouldn't have these problems. The problem comes into is these kids, they're kids, and they feel like I'm invincible, or what the hell are you trying to tell me? Bullshit.
Yeah.
Or it just,
I can handle
it's
it.
It's a cultural, right, pure thing. Yeah, I can do this.
I can handle it.
I'm not weak.
Yeah.
I'm not you.
I can handle my yeah, shit. And like you said, it's like, look, I'm going to introduce you today to every person I know that is a drinker that's handled PTSD well. Okay? Stand by, hold on. They're all coming in the room right now. And they look at you like, there's nobody coming in the room. That's right, assholes. Because guess what? There isn't anybody. That's a zero right there. Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a zero.
Well, they did it. So yeah, check this out. I read some. They did a study. I think it was in English, because it was an English commercial. Remember those commercials that were talking about texting while driving, and they were really, like, heart-stopping, you know? But they originated from England. And they showed, like, the split second someone's texting, and then they strike somebody and take a life, and, you know, but it's the domino effect, what they've caused, right?
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
Like, no, I don't think I saw them.
Okay, so there's a series of commercials that were targeted towards youth that targeted stop texting while driving. Just stop talking on the phone, whatever it was, because, you know, you don't have those kind of reactionary skills to, like, look up and then boom, someone's in your way and you've just taken a life.
Right.
The commercials are horrible. I mean, they're gut-wrenching. They'll make you cry. And so they did this study, and they watched these British, they had these British teams that, you know, I forget how many people they had there, but they all talked to the, and they watched them, and that, to a man and to a woman, they were all like, oh my God, I'm mortified, I'm never ever gonna do this again. Which was a true statement, because emotions, you know, they were emotional, very emotional. But then what that happened was, they came back, like, I think it was 5 days, it was something stupid. Not even, you know, not all the time, but they came back to these same individuals and said, are you texting driving? Oh, yeah. What about commercials? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Oh, yeah, those were bad. And it was like 99% of the people that watched it affected their life. Oh, my God, I'm never going to do that again. And then 24 hours later, out of sight, out of mind, they went back to their habits.
Right.
So we are creatures of our habits. We need to change our habits. We need to change everything we do with our habitat. And if it's, you know, watching these things periodically. So I was really bad at texting that because I had a BlackBerry, you know, and I was working on. So you're driving and you're always looking at your BlackBerry because you're getting emails and you're like, ah. And then, so my wife and my daughter bought me this thing that hangs from my visor that was kind of bright and shiny. It was talk about no text while driving. And it was like a thing, you know, like a little car with a circle through it with a cell phone. But it was finding me. So when I looked at it, I thought of them, and I was like, oh, shit, I put the phone away. And then it was slowly after that, she started changing my habitat. And now I don't do it at all. You know, so it's the same thing like drinking. It didn't stop overnight. I had to see it. I had to see, like, oh, man. This whole thing about, I act like that. Oh, that, I don't want to be known as that. I don't want people to, you know, it's fun to be the funny guy. Oh, yeah, ha, ha, ha. But that gets tiring, man. It's like, you know, I'm tired of being the funny guy. I'm tired of being the jokester. I'm tired of being, oh, or people refer to you as, hey, this is my buddy Mike. He's, you know, he's a funny drunk. And you're like, really? Or, I mean, that, or you find friends that's the only thing you have in common with. So, I mean, you got to change your habitat. You got to change your whole, everything around you. And that's not easy.
No.
But anyway, I just wanted to call in and say, hey, congratulations, man. That was a really good letter.
No, you know what?
We can talk about this more.
Mike, real quick, let me read you an email, and then you can take off. Okay, the email says this. I think you two ass clowns underestimate the power of your own leadership abilities. Both of you two are doing this because it's an extension of the way you've been while you were on active duty. You gave a shit. Marines respond to that. That is huge. I think that it should happen more often. Hell, you guys ought to run your own therapy clinic. Marines would get more out of it than talking to a stranger that has never walked in their moccasins, because at the end of the therapy, you would look across the table and say, hey, motherfucker, listen to me. Look me in the eye. Stop it.
Right.
You got it? You would give your cell numbers. You would be all in like good leaders are. That's pretty powerful stuff. That's what I hear, and I only started listening about a month ago. Well done. I heard Mac read the letter earlier in the program. I believe that's the mission of All Marine Radio. But it doesn't work unless you guys make it work. You guys, obviously, with your leadership experience, are special leaders. Keep up the great work. Awesome program. I don't know about great leaders. I mean, we try hard. I will say this. We started as testament to that in terms of experienced leaders. We were, I went and came home in 2004, went to the early 2004, came home in 2005. Mike dropped off for some reason. Hopefully he'll call back and we'll get his response to that. The first time I went home, you went and you met with like a group of Marines on a regular schedule. The chaplain, went down a questionnaire that talked about be sympathetic to your wife. She's had it as hard as you. Everybody laughed. She may not have done everything right relative to your money. Be mentally prepared for that. You might have sexual issues. Be prepared for that. So kind of went down a laundry list. I'm not sure how effective that was. The second time I went home in 2006, that had changed. Right? Units went someplace for a few days. And the most senior and respected leaders in the unit, okay, gave those kind of classes. Classes were more robust, but it's, I think, what the emailer's alluding to, and that is a lot of times the message gets lost to the messenger. Okay? The message gets lost to the messenger. But when you have credible people that you respect that look you in the face and say, hey, got to do this, man, and they won't accept, and again, in our culture, when you're having that experience and they tell you, I got to have this. You got to do it. No's not part of the tribe. It's not a response the tribe accepts. And if you think that you're going to say no and we're not going to do something to you, irrational and I won't say stupid, but there's not going to be a price to pay, then you don't know our tribe. All right. Yeah. This theme song right here. This tribal song, that song, and I hate to shut it off, okay, but I have to, that doesn't take, piss off, I'm not doing it, doesn't accept that. And as the emailer kind of alludes to, there's incredible power in that. You know, when people that you respect, people from your tribe look at you, and really what they're doing is they're putting their arms around you and they're, dare I say it, they're loving you. You know, that's what they're doing. And so that's a big deal, man. That is a big deal. And so And so I agree with what the emailer says. And I don't think Mike and I aren't anything real special in the Marine Corps. You know, the my friends are all like that and better. You know, that's why I had great experiences in the Marine Corps, because I have great friends. They're great men. Okay, they're great men. And as more of them get off active duty, you'll hear them. It's easier for them to come on when they're not on active duty. And you'll hear them and you'll say, wow, listen to that. If you haven't heard the battle study with Chris Bronzy, go listen to that. Go to the website and just do a search on Bronzy, B-R-O-N-Z-I. Okay? And listen to the things that he says and the way he says them. All right? Chris is a straight up, he's a leader. I met him in Ramadi in 2004, and we've been friends ever since. We're battle buddies times two. Met him at Combat Outpost. General Kelly went out there. Now Major General Kennedy, then Lieutenant Colonel Kennedy, a buddy of mine, got a chance to see him, and met Chris Bronzy. But great officer, but a great guy. Chris Bronzy's mom doesn't eat ice cream when he's deployed. Right? She's a good Catholic woman. That's awesome. I love that. I love that she doesn't eat ice cream when he's deployed. The leaders matter and leadership matters. But the cool part is this, because of the way our tribe is, right? When you're able to show somebody the way, guess what you just created? A disciple. Guess what the disciple's responsibility is? To preach the gospel. Now, I'm giving you a little bit of Catholicism there, but that's the way it works. Will you need to encourage him to preach the gospel to other members of the tribe? Answer that? No. He knows he has to. She knows she has to. And that's the rewarding part of this stuff. For us, and it's been that way for a long, long time for us, is if you could see their courage and selflessness, it would make you cry. If you could see it in combat every day, you'd be a mess. And you never recover from it. You spend the rest of your life finding ways to help out whenever you can help out, because you don't have a choice. It's your tribe. They're your people. If they need you, then you go. No questions asked. It's a cool tribe, trust me. All right, so good to hear from the gunner today. Mac, I missed the letter. Will you read it again? Yeah, let me take a break. Actually, no, I'll read it right now. It's entitled Alcohol and PTSD. And again, I got this thing, I don't know, late last night. So it was written late. He's in the Eastern time zone. I'll say that about him. But again, he's not any different, okay, than thousands and thousands of other Marines and soldiers and sailors and airmen that deal with demons. And some of them, go back to World War II, okay? Today's show, here's what he writes. Today's show is very important, and I want to thank you for setting it up with Bob, Jeremiah, and, of course, Mike, and especially thank them for the honest, deep discussion about drinking. I learned so much by listening to the show, and today was full of some of the best advice I've heard in one place. After our talk and listening today, it has affirmed for me that being drunk is not acceptable. During social occasions, I am responsible. I have just chosen to drink to intoxication by myself late at night. What a stupid thing for me to do, and I'm embarrassed by how I have acted in the past towards ones I've loved and recently emailing you drunk. No more alcohol in the house, and only responsibly on occasion. If for some reason I can't be responsible, then I'll shit Canada entirely and go to AA, as that would indicate I do have a serious problem. the interview with Jeremiah was just awesome. And it was great to hear how well he's doing, and the family is doing great. There's nothing else on earth like All Marine Radio. I'm looking forward to staying sober. I have to. A couple things about the email that I want to comment on. This sentence, what a stupid thing for me to do, and I'm embarrassed by how I have acted in the past, you know, to loved ones and whatnot. It's not stupid, okay? It's the path that I would say the majority of guys, I would say for sure, because that's my experience, take. It is well-worn from veterans from different conflicts and wars throughout history. It's how we tend to do it most often, and that is we use liquor in some way, shape, or form to make ourselves what we think feel better. But ultimately, it just unleashes the gorillas from the cage. Okay? I wish they were monkeys. They're gorillas. Predatory gorillas that get unleashed. So, no need to be embarrassed. Right? And it's not stupid. Right? When the institution doesn't look at you and paint for you a vivid picture, and I go back and I'll draw a parallel with, you know, my thoughts on keep your honor clean. We need to be truthful with guys, with Marines before they go to combat. This is what you're going to experience on the backside. So why do you keep your honor clean? You do it for you, for nobody else. And then show them that video of Barnado Simpson. Show him the first video from 1970 where he's telling you about what he did and how he thinks he did what he was supposed to do, you know, and how he's defending a little bit. I mean, you can tell he's uneasy with it, you know, but he's at that time he's 20 years old and he's already been to Vietnam for a year at the age of 20. Fast forward 20 years later, three suicide attempts later, and I think a year before his forced suicide, which is a gunshot to the head, which finishes the job. You know, we failed that guy. But that is the way the majority of people go. And so just like with Keep Your Honor Clean, if you show them the unvarnished truth of what's in store and say, it's important that you do the right thing. Because you're never not going to see these things. I know, double negative, Mac. You're not supposed to say that. Okay? These things are going to be with you forever. Okay? So give it some thought. Same thing with drinking, right? When you get back, you know, all right, let's talk about dealing with what we just went through. And it's got to be the credible people in a unit, and you got to talk about alcohol. If you think you're going to self-medicate through the use of alcohol, I will guarantee you this. You will destroy yourself and you'll destroy your family. I will 100% guarantee you that. Because the two do not mix. The other thing that I wanted to comment was, when he says this, if for some reason I can't be responsible, then I'll shit can it entirely and go to AA, that would indicate that I have a serious problem. Okay? You do have a serious problem. You've got this thing inside of you. Okay? And that's why you've got to take alcohol's a part. Alcohol's a part of the problem. The problem is that you have this these things inside of you that you have not made peace with yet, and you may never make peace with them, okay? And then what happens is when you are using alcohol, it unleashes this stuff, and it makes you a different person. Okay? So I think you have to admit up front that I have a serious problem. My problem is this post-traumatic stress I have inside of me. Alcohol makes that worse. Okay? So, and I think he's right in the article, in the email. If you can drink socially, you know, with your significant other, if you can do that, that's fine. The problem is a lot of people can't do that. Okay, so the serious problem, I would say, is not the liquor. The serious problem is the gorilla. The liquor just releases the gorilla. So what are you going to do? Your serious problem isn't the liquor. It's the gorilla. The liquor makes the gorilla bigger, more aggressive, and bolder. So tell me how you do this. Yeah. We get rid of the liquor. Or, you know, if you can manage one or two drinks. But again, people who have a problem tend not to be able to do that. But awesome letter. Awesome letter. So, but again, my point of the cool part of this and the way I think it should be, and I don't want to say confrontational, but it should be in the mold of the classes that we give now when we come back from overseas. And that is the most credible leaders in the organization. And that's not always the highest ranking people, by the way. Yeah, there's some fairly high ranking people that'll be in a unit that you don't want giving a class to anybody. No, not him. Okay? They are the guys who Marines look up to. And when they walk up there, nobody has to tell everybody to be quiet. Everybody gets quiet out of respect. And they're in units all across the Marine Corps, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force. Okay? They're in those units. And those people, you know, have to assert themselves and can't be afraid. So, anyway, interesting discussion. We'll continue this. As I said, I spoke with Ken Rogers after he got done hiking yesterday. Hey, Mac, what did I miss? Right? Ken Rogers made Bravo, Common Man, Uncommon Valor. And he's making another documentary about caregivers. But anyway, Ken has become a good friend. And he loves All Marine Radio, thankfully. And so when I said alcohol and PT, post-traumatic stress disorder, he said, oh, I know something about both of those. But I love that these guys will come on and will talk about their experiences and candidly to help others. That's what I love about Jeremiah and the interview that we did with him yesterday. So we'll take a quick break. More of this program coming up next, Wednesday edition on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders, that's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything to feel it coming. Do you wake up on your own? I wonder where you are. I wanna wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all, so I don't deny it. Yeah, we're gonna let it fly
get to some email. All curse for you. Good morning, Mac. Hey, Mac, what kind of bullshit is that media jackass? Boy, give me a break. Damn, be well. Yeah, it doesn't work without... What would I do if somebody said, okay, hey, Mac, we got this great sponsorship, but... You have to change the format. You're not going to be able to cuss. And okay, like, can we nail it down? Like, what word specifically? Okay, like, the F word, okay, I'm okay with. It's a big part of the way we talk, but... But, okay, for money, I'll do that. But I don't know. No profanity? Is that our culture? It's a familiar place because we talk like we talk. And if people don't like it, they don't like it, but... Well, we'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Training fatality. I may have missed it, but I don't think you brought up the training fatality on the USS Jason Dunham in the Red Sea a few weeks ago. A female ensign died of injuries incurred during small boat training. Incident details not yet out. You know, I saw that, I think, after we got off the air, and it made me sick to my stomach. So I guess we'll see. What I pray is it wasn't some stupid shit. For instance, training accident at Camp Pendleton. I don't know, I remember about a year ago when the Amtrak hit the gas line, and the spark from the metal ignited the gas. It was like a blowtorch flaming onto the Amtrak. I mean, I don't know that anything prevents that. And somebody could say, well, you know, the markings, like, yeah, I got it. But sometimes that stuff happens. It's a lot different than the way the Fitzgerald collided with a tanker that night. It's a lot different from the way the McCain turned in front of another tanker another time, okay, where negligence and incompetence is involved. I just hope that it's not the kind of stuff that is just knocks the stuffing out of you, okay? But, again, our thoughts and prayers go out to her family. And again, you know, you're so proud of your kid out there, you know, serving their country, you know, safe in the Navy, right? Not a Marine, not a soldier, not running around in Iraq or Afghanistan or at some other crazy place doing crazy stuff. Died of injuries incurred during small boat training. So sad, sad, sad story. No, I did see that, and it sucks. Another email entitled The Gorilla. That makes the most sense. I'm tracking Mac. No, I mean, you know, again, because this whole liner that Jeremiah says, this one right here.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine?
Those aren't monkeys, right? Those are they're gorillas. They're monsters. So I think so to begin to understand the problem when we talk like that, you gotta describe it right. And if you describe it right, then people begin to get the message. Right? And it's not just a gorilla like Mighty Joe Young. It's Godzilla, right? That gorilla is a predator that's coming to kill you. And your job is to learn how to keep that gorilla in its cage. How do you do that? Well, you do it by dealing with the issues, but it's never going away. It's never going away. And so I think when you, I honestly believe that as you frame it like that, you begin to understand the danger that people are in. So, interesting. I agree with it. To me, it makes more sense. Not monkeys, man. Another thing those Vietnam dudes got wrong. I give the Vietnam guys a tough time because I love them. Right. No, I do. Right. If we pulled back the curtain on the black road that people would walk when they're burdened with post-traumatic stress, and you said, okay, this is the World War II door, this is the Korean door, this is the Vietnam door, here's the Desert Storm door, the Gulf War door, here's the Iraq-Afghanistan door. So you're standing there looking at those five doors, and you look and you say, why is that door, why is door number three so much uglier than the other doors? Oh. That door? That's the Vietnam door. Yeah, there's some stuff in that door that's not in the other doors. Just so you know. Oh. Really? Yeah. Might want to stay away from it. Stay away from those dudes that went into that door. That's the truth. So, their gorilla it might be a herd of gorillas, okay? So, anyway. But, nonetheless, we have to give them shit whenever we can. Because it's fun most of the time. All the doors are closed one time. We'll open up again. My thanks today to you all for listening, to our guy for writing an email. My thanks to Jim Capers for Someday coming on. Major type. You can check his story out. It's pretty cool. Also, my thanks to some goofball publicity guy who shut the interview off. Well done, bro. Couldn't just said, give me his email address. Hey, Mac, whatever I can do to support, let me know. Be happy to. Fired up that you're going to have him on. Would you mind covering these points in the interview? Not a bit, man. Thanks. Oh, no. That stuff's too difficult. We have to play the I'm in control game. Nobody does an interview, so Caper sat at home. Caper sat at home today doing nothing today. Well, I'm going to cancel the interview. Why? Because I didn't set it up. Oh, I got it. Stupid. All right. I'm not sure what we're going to do tomorrow. I've got a couple different things. I haven't made a final decision, but trust me. And my thanks to the Gunner for calling you up. Because, I'll give you a common thread in all of this. It's our love for Marines. How special of an animal we think they are. That's the common theme in all of this. You heard the Gunner bust off a phone call. I sent him that letter early this morning because obviously he's a big part of it. And it makes your heart feel like the Grinch's heart, right? The Grinch's heart grows three times its size when he hears the Who people singing. Yeah, that's how it makes your heart feel. And the best part is they deserve it because of their courage and selflessness. And when you can help them, there's no better feeling in the world. Well, maybe being a dad and those kind of feelings like that. Being a husband and those kind of feelings. But it's up there with that. In the holy of holies. So, and my thanks to Mike for calling in. And as well as Rudy and Montana Man. Yeah, hanging out in Montana today. So, anyway. Have a great day. This program repeats itself momentarily, so whatever you do, don't touch the dial. It's actually a very, very cool program if you missed the first part of it. Don't touch the dial. On a Wednesday, All Marine Radio, over and out.